Here's a quiz. This country's capital is not Istanbul, as I mistakenly said in lesson 97, but Ankara. What's the country? Don't jump to conclusions. I'll tell you in a second. But first, let's introduce this lesson. I'm Jeff, and you are listening to Plain English, where we help you upgrade your English with current events and trending topics. This is lesson number 467 of Plain English, and that means JR has uploaded the full lesson content to plainenglish.com/467. So the answer to the trivia question, the biggest city is Istanbul, but the capital is Ankara. If you said the country is Turkey, you're wrong, at least according to the president of that country, who is engineering an official name change. It's now called Turkiye, and that is what we'll talk about in the first half of today's lesson. In the second half, I'll show you how to use the phrase turn the tables, and we have a song of the week. The corner of the earth that English speakers today call Turkey was the site of one of the world's oldest civilizations. It was also home to one of the most powerful. The Ottoman Empire ruled from the 1300s until the beginning of the 20th century. It was based in Constantinople, which is today called Istanbul. The modern-day country of Turkey was founded as a republic in 1923, and its name comes from the ethnic group that has lived there, a group we in English call the Turks. The origin of the word dates back to the Middle Ages. But they don't speak English in Turkey, at least most don't speak it natively. They understandably speak Turkish. And they don't call their country Turkey, they call it Turkiye. At the time of the country's founding, the country was given an English translation that would be similar to the local pronunciation, but also easy for English speakers to say and spell. As you can tell, Turkiye is not easy to pronounce for an English speaker. I had to practice it several times, and I'm still probably not getting it right. What's more, Turkiye is spelled with an umlaut, the two dots above the U, which is not a letter that English speakers have on their keyboards. To spell it correctly, most English speakers need to dive deep into nested menus of special characters. This isn't too hard today, but it was a bigger problem in the days of typewriters. English speakers going back centuries referred to this area, including the Ottoman Empire, as some variation of Turkey. So there are a lot of reasons why Turkey just works better as an English translation. And there's nothing wrong with an English translation of a place name. You don't hear Italy insisting that we say Italia, or Germany complaining that we don't say Deutschland. There is, however, one big problem with the name Turkey that doesn't exist for Morocco, Spain, Poland, or other translated country names. Turkey means something else in English. A turkey is an animal, and the turkey is not, shall we say, a prestigious animal. It's neither smart, nor beautiful, nor endangered, nor even native to the country we're talking about. The similarity in pronunciation is just a coincidence. If you Google Turkey, you'll see information about Turkey the country mixed in with information about an ugly bird, an even uglier bird called a turkey vulture, and something uglier still, a fungus called turkey tail. You might also find recipes for, say, roast turkey, turkey sandwiches, turkey meatballs, turkey bacon, turkey burgers. The list goes on. This irks Turkey's president. He has a name that English speakers also struggle to pronounce. He's Recep Tayyip Erdogan, and he decided to rebrand the country internationally from Turkey to Turkiye, and spelled as they spell it in their own language. The country's tourism office changed all its English language materials to reflect the new name. The new name is all over government TV and online media. It's also used in official documents. You'll see Turkiye on English language videos on Turkish Airlines. The official reason for the name change is to ask the rest of the world to respect the name that they, the Turks, give to their own country. They also don't think their country name should be confused with an animal or a recipe, a reasonable desire. Tourism is important too. English-speaking travelers may not be specifically dissuaded by the name Turkey, but you can't deny that Turkiye holds greater appeal. There is a bit of politics involved too. Some locals think that Erdogan is doing this to stir up nationalist pride, to boost his popularity with people who want him to assert their Turkish identity. Turkish speakers struggle with English pronunciation, so Erdogan is turning the tables. Now Turks can delight in watching English speakers garble a word in Turkish for a change. Erdogan's more internationalist opponents think this is a pointless grandstanding and a scheme to boost his support among nationalist supporters. The name change won't just be a branding exercise. Turkey, as it is still officially called in English, will apply for a name change with the United Nations. Politics aside, I think I support the change. Again, politics aside, today we live in a globalized world. We're more used to pronouncing words that are a little difficult to say, we can look up a pronunciation on YouTube. And as for the spelling, I can type an umlaut with one extra keystroke. There's also a bit of a global movement to align the English pronunciation to be closer to what local people want to be called. You may have heard me talk about Kyiv, the capital of Ukraine. Kyiv is close to what they say in Ukrainian, but I grew up calling that city Kiev, which is more aligned with the Russian pronunciation of that word. Many cities in India changed their names from their British colonial names back to what they were more traditionally called. That's why we have Mumbai and not Bombay, Kolkata and not Calcutta, and so on. Today's English expression is turn the tables. We use this expression when two people are in opposing situations, and usually one person has an advantage. When you turn the tables on someone else, you switch positions with that person, and you usually move from a disadvantage to an advantage. It's common to use this when describing how fortunes change in a competition. Any NBA fans in the audience? I know there are. I wrote this lesson back on April 24th, and I was keeping an eye on the Chicago Bulls and Milwaukee Bucks. They're playing in the first round of the NBA basketball playoffs, at least they were back on April 24th. It's a 7-game series, so the first team to win 4 games wins the series. The first game was very close. Both teams played well, but the Bucks won by a score of 93-86. Then the Bulls turned the tables and won game 2, another close game, by a score of 114-110. The Bulls turned the tables on the Bucks. In the first game, the Bucks won and the Bulls lost. The Bucks had the advantage. But in the second game, the Bulls turned the tables. That means they took their disadvantage, their loss in game 1, and they made it an advantage by winning game 2. Now, I don't need to tell this audience that English speakers have an advantage when cultures come together. Doesn't it always seem to be the non-English speaker who has to adapt and speak the other language? Now, some speakers have it easier than others. English is easier to learn for native speakers of Dutch, for example, or German. It's harder for speakers of Chinese or, I don't know, Turkish. Ah, right, Turkish. Native speakers of Turkish usually are the ones who struggle in international meetings when they try to pronounce words in English. But now, as you heard today, the country's president, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, wants to turn the tables. He wants English speakers to call his country Turkiye, which is how Turks themselves say it. And as you can hear, it's not easy for us to say it that way. Erdogan wants to turn the tables. So normally, it's Turkish people who have to adapt to pronounce English words. Now, he wants English speakers to have to pronounce a Turkish word. He wants to turn the tables, if only on this one small piece of the English language that he can control. The job market is hot these days, right? In normal times, the employer has the advantage during the hiring process. Usually, the job applicant needs the job more than the company needs the employee. But the tables are turned these days. Today, employers are desperate for employees. And during a job interview, applicants are turning the tables. Usually, it's the employer asking the questions, trying to make sure the applicant lives up to the company's standards. Now, though, it's often the applicants who are asking the hard questions, making sure the job and the company live up to their own high standards. The positions are reversed, and the advantage has moved from the employer to the employee. The tables are turned. It's time for JR's Song of the Week. He has chosen a classic this week, a song I actually know. It's Everybody Wants to Rule the World by Tears for Fears. It came out in 1985, that's why I know it, and is often played on rock and roll radio stations here in the U.S. Its lyrics are about the thirst for power and the danger, at the time, of a nuclear war. Not an upbeat topic, but the melody is memorable, and it's on the radio a lot. See if you recognize it. Everybody Wants to Rule the World by the band Tears for Fears. That's all for today's lesson. By the way, the phrase turn the tables originated with the game of backgammon. It's a two-player game, a table game, and can you believe it? The game is 400 years old. And after a single game of backgammon, the two players rotate the table so that they each play from the other side. Now, I believe that in backgammon, as in chess, the two sides are meant to be equal, but they're not exactly the same. Well, we'll be back on Monday with a new lesson. See you then. You've reached the end of the audio lesson, but there's a lot more to the Plain English experience on the website plainenglish.com. A lot of plainenglish.com is free, but the best tools to help you upgrade your English are part of the Starter and Plus memberships. And if you've ever been curious about what those look like, well, I have good news for you. We've unlocked some free sample lessons that let you try out the Starter and Plus features for yourself. There are two easy ways to find the free samples. First, at plainenglish.com, there's a new link at the top of the page that says Free Samples. I've also put a link in the show notes for this episode. In the sample lessons, you can do the exercises, listen to the fast audio, take one of our toolkit workshops, practice your writing, and more. So try it out today. Click the link in the show notes of this episode or find the link that says Free Samples at the top of plainenglish.com.